Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Match Ball.
Hello there. Welcome to the show that's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. You can secure 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. And I'm joined by Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Stop eyeballing the camera. We've got cameras in here now. Moscow staring down at it in a threatening manner. Let's get into the show and get into another victory for Leeds United as we secure our top half finish. Clearly burnt out. Only secured our top half finish because of COVID, etc., etc. Go on, pick that one apart.
It felt a bit like the Derby game at the end of last season did this, in that we were kind of pissing around, weren't we? Making some changes, just turning up and winning anyway.
It's the only defence we've got left against burnout is we had to bring in fresh players who've been waiting for their chance eagerly in the wings.
A couple of eyebrows raised over Kiko, but by half time when those subs were made, I think it all made a little bit more sense that he's just having, like you say, a bit of a mess around now towards the back end of the season, maybe preserving a few players for the Euros and so on. Although Adam Pope did tweet just at full time, and we are recording moments after full time, that Calvin Phillips might have had a slight limp as he was leaving St Mary's. So let's hope not.
I mean, if he doesn't play for England, that's fine. It'd be sad for him, but for us, nice bit of a rest.
He's done it now. And when was the last time we had a midfielder for England at an international tournament? Was it David Batty? I mean, and he was playing for Newcastle at the time, wasn't he? But I'm picturing Calvin Phillips missing a crucial penalty in a vital game and thinking, I'd rather just avoid all that. Don't really need that in our lives. It's much easier to follow football if you don't get fans of other teams too involved. Their opinions on Calvin Phillips, not necessary.
On the fans, actually, I thought it was nice to have fans in the stadium. Booing Llorente, that was good. Booing us taking time over throw-ins, that was good. Cheering 6 minutes of injury time, which we ultimately scored in, that was good as well.
Leaving early, don't forget they left early. That's an important thing to factor in, a lot of them.
So it was nice. The sound effects that they've been putting on, they do make it more watchable, but it doesn't ever feel quite right, does it? It's got that feeling of like of a chatbot. It's got that not quite human quality to it, and there's just something nice about hearing actual pissed off people. Although I did notice they were quite loud in the first half, but more so than Southampton fans normally are. I don't know if they were just doing the full repertoire because it's been a while.
Talk us through the chatbots that you spend your time engaging with late at night when you're on your own, wife's in bed maybe.
I mean, like when you go on to like sort out a gas bill or something, it says what's your problem, and you put and it kind of answers your questions, but not really, and you sort of think just.
Gas bill means babe station, doesn't it, or something like that? I don't know. Let's talk about Kiko Casilla, because he was the one who made everyone go beforehand. But apart from that one little off his line in the first half, what was about 15 minutes in, 17 minutes in it was, he actually had a good game, and he did a game-saving save in the first couple of minutes.
He did all right, didn't he? He made a couple of all right saves. Saves I would expect him to make, but saves nonetheless. And then he flapped at a couple of things. But overall, I'd say as Kiko performances go, it was fine.
We've seen too many of them previously that were not fine, though, to have any faith in him as a first-choice goalkeeper. And he does just seem to make us play worse. And I don't know if maybe it was... Liam Cooper's come back into the team as well, so it wasn't the only defensive change at the back. And also as we were against Burnley, it was very much a similar start where we've gone three at the back against two up front, and the first 10 minutes is them kind of having the best of us while we're trying to sort the game out. But there is just something about having Kassir in the team that doesn't only depress everybody once the teams are announced, because you know inevitably the next hour is going to be spent with people going, should he be playing, should he be not playing? And it's kind of, you know, the argument hasn't really moved on at all because he hasn't apologised to Jonathan Lico, and so there's no reason to change your opinion of him based on that event just because time has passed. He's still the same Kiko Kassir as he was last time he stank out the first team, just makes clear what I think of him. But then when he is in the team, it just doesn't quite have the same zip or confidence. Or I noticed Luke Ayling getting back in front of him at one point to block a shot. And I don't know if I'm being hypercritical, but I wonder if he may have felt that necessary if Melier had been there, if he might have just been like, oh, Ilan's got this. Whereas there might have been something there that was, I think I'd better do something about this just in case that clown throws the ball in his net. And you just detect this slightly different vibe about our defence when he's there, just because Melier is so much better than him. But it is, as you say, it's Bielsa has said he wants him to play this game, and it sounds like the next game. But it's not a reward. It's not like he's been very well behaved, therefore he gets a treat. It's so that Melier can rest. That's what we sort of see by the other changes, where Llorente gets a break. Click and Cock have, you know, completely fucked off on holiday. He's not being given a biscuit or a trophy. He's being forced to actually earn his fucking wages for a change, which is...
The wages might be a factor insofar as maybe we're just trying to remind people that he exists as well. So if you're in the market for a goalkeeper this summer, why not have a look at this guy? Although, from what we've seen of some of his performances, you do wonder if making him play football is a good way of selling him. If maybe just you could show some videos of him maybe lifting a Champions League trophy for Real Madrid and go, this is the guy. What's he done recently? Good stuff. All good stuff. No bother at all.
The best adverts he's got at the moment are those Marcus Ayibad training compilations that he puts on YouTube, where you see him sort of standing next to Ilan Melier, kind of throwing a ball at him and helping him train. That's essentially how he earns his wages now, and that's why he's kind of faded into a bit of an irrelevance at the club. He's the guy who helps Melier train, and now he's getting to play. I mean, City played Scott Carson, whose track record is socially much more amenable, as far as I'm aware. But we're into that sort of stage of the season where it's, give him a run out, go on, whatever, and you just have to cough and ignore it.
The important thing is he didn't cost us anything. The other point you raised there is a good one, Moscow, actually, in that we've seen the evolution of Melier from somebody who had his little shaky moments earlier on in the season to being a guy that you feel you can completely rely on. We know he's got ice in his veins anyway, but this is just a nice reminder that we go into games that much more confident when he's in net, and I think that's probably grown over the course of the season. Anyway, let's move on from him. We don't want to take up too much time talking about the keeper because there's nothing to talk about new, fresh from today, really. You did mention the bright start that Southampton made, and it was that first quarter of the game. They made all the running, a little bit like happened at Burnley, where we were just feeling the game out. I did wonder, do you think we were jet-lagged because we flew down to Southampton?
I was a bit concerned, I have to say, in the first half. I mean, we did gradually improve as the half went on, but I still thought they had the better of it. Without actually creating that many chances, there were too many times it felt like when they were just more or less walking through the midfield, and I wasn't quite sure where it was going wrong, whether it was Calvin Phillips trying to play a bit deeper maybe and Rodrigo not covering a bit of space, or just because they were sending centre-backs forward. I wasn't entirely sure because I don't understand football properly. but I'm sure Bielsa knew, and presumably he changed things at half-time to fix it, because second half, we were the better team.
It felt to me like there was a big gap between where Calvin Phillips was on the edge of our area frequently and then where Rodrigo was, and it felt like him and Bamford were almost like interchanging up front at times, and there was that kind of big hole in the midfield where they always felt like they had a spare man, where like Ward-Prowse was operating in the first half.
It's that fucking Stuart Dallas, isn't it? Useless. Can't play midfield for Toffee. I don't know. Southampton they have that first problem, as we said against Burnley, is two strikers. We're always just, I don't like us as much when we're against two strikers with three centre-backs. And then they press high. And it was kind of similar to the game at Elland Road against them, where they made it quite uncomfortable and it was all quite a bit awkward. But then we ended up winning 3-0, and it was the same here. It was all a bit uncomfortable and a bit awkward. And we almost won 3-0, that chance at the end for Rafinha, which I imagine you remember at Manchester City, and they said Main Road, when he went off and he was all pissed off because of that tackle that had injured him and would refuse to take part in any of the celebrations of the most extraordinary victory. I wonder if on the plane home, he will just be sitting there with a face like thunder. One, because Bamford didn't pull that chance back to him. And two, because he'll probably blame Bamford for the pass that was absolutely put it perfectly on his foot for him to make it 3-0. But he was arms folded, face like thunder, not talking to anybody, get his luggage at Leeds Bradford and fuck off home.
I'm fairly sure when it came to the predictions for this week, I do need to go back and check, but I was bragging about predicting a 4-goal haul at Turf Moor, which I got right. I think I might have said this one would be 2-0 as well. So I might have just called the last two results absolutely spot on. And let's not forget, and you two both witnessed this, that I did say we would score the 69th minute would be the first of our three goals. And I was not far off right with that one today, because I just felt that even though they started well, we would wear them down because most teams can't keep up with us. And they're getting towards the end of the game. It's goalless. They're thinking, nearly done here, aren't we? There's nothing ready to play for.
Do you know what not far off right means?
Is it wrong?
Wrong.
You see, lots of people, I think, will have been listening into this expecting some kind of gloating and crowing about Tyler Roberts scoring, and I'm glad that you've popped up to intervene before any of that can happen, because I wouldn't dream of it, and yet we don't even know if... You can't even remember what you predicted, but you're still saying you were right.
Make so many of these great podcasts, Mosca. I just forget. That's all it is. That's all it is. But no, it was nice. 72 minutes, wasn't it? When we scored. Bamford, really pleased for him there, because it felt like he'd been cheated out of something with the penalty incident when he did ask the ref, what do I need to dive now to get a penalty?
Yes. I don't know how that's news to him. Has he not seen any football matches for a few years?
It is annoying, though. I mean, it was also annoying that he didn't just put it in the net, which did look an option earlier in it. I think it was on his right foot, wasn't it? And he was trying to shift it and go around the keeper. And
he had the chance before that. And I'd seen on the Twitter the way Cavani...
Oh, here he goes.
...finished for Scum.
For United, yep.
Earlier this evening. Very similar chance, but Cavani lobbed Fulham's goalkeeper from about 40 yards, whereas Pat Bamford neglected the opportunity and tried to run around it. And I don't know, as far as I'm concerned, because Pat Bamford plays for the only true, just and beautiful football team that exists in the world. He's obviously 10 times the player Edson Cavani has ever been and ever will be. This occasion, I felt that perhaps he could have taken a leaf out of the exercise book, blowing in the wind from Old Trafford.
At first viewing, well, second viewing, actually, watching it live, I thought you should have put that away. But then when we saw the replay, before we got caught up in the penalty, I did think the ball got stuck under his feet a little bit when it got played across to him. It just came too close to his feet. He needed to get it out before he could pop a shot off.
Until he scored today, I actually thought he looked a bit ponderous in general, did Bamford. He looked a little bit, he reminded me a bit of old Bamford, but then he nutmegged the goalkeeper, which I'm sure is half deliberate.
He also got smacked in the face, which I was quite pleased to see. I feel like he's had that coming since he whacked Bielsa in the face with a football. I don't wish to see him injured, but then I didn't wish to see Bielsa with wonky glasses and a cut nose for however many weeks he suffered through that, all because the child he raised as a son from nothing decided to smack him in the face with a ball. And I wonder if maybe, you know, he on the flight home with his headache, the happiness of the goal will be a little bit tempered by just, well, so that's how Bielsa felt.
Do you think they should have got the lines out? Not should, it's the wrong word, it's the wrong question. I'm surprised, I'm going to make a statement rather than ask a question, I'm surprised they didn't get the lines out for VAR for Bamford's, because we've seen the shirt sleeve one at Crystal Palace earlier in the season. I'm just surprised we didn't see the justification for it, either correct or incorrect.
I mean, that for me, that is how it should work, is that you look at it and you go, looks fine probably, and then you give a goal. But yeah, I was surprised, particularly because he seemed to be, it looked a bit like the Palace one earlier in the season where he was, as you do when you're running, leaning forward to run, and they could have probably drawn a line, but they didn't. And I assume they did check it, because they check everything, don't they? But regardless, it should count anyway. Just like, and we are consistent on this, because we said the other week Harry Kane's should have counted as well, because it's stupid.
Kevin Friend was the fourth official, and to imagine a world where Kevin Friend hasn't looked at that and measured it. But Sky didn't even bother with the halftime analysis. They haven't even dragged Keith Andrews down to gloom this event up. We're very much getting the iFollow version of Premier League football. I don't know why at the end of the season, they've gone all through the season making every single game an absolute unnecessary production, but now they're just like, oh, stick it on Sky Sports Mix for free and don't just show a loop of highlights. I was expecting a bit of Eurosport action at halftime where they just show some random touring cars race. You might have seen a bit of world cycling from the other side of the planet that nobody'd seen before. So the idea, the match director looking at whatever's happened in Stockley Park, shall I patch that through so that the viewers can see it? Oh, I'd have to press three buttons and then I'd have to take it off again. Oh, they've given the goal anyway, so...
Much like you, Moscow, they were probably dealing with the feed through to your favourite stadium and your favourite club in Salford, because that was their priority, because they were on the other side. We were sat here watching it in the studio and you said, turn it over so I can watch United. I'm like, no, we're Leeds fans, Moscow, we're Leeds fans.
Just ignoring this. Just ignoring it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spoke about the ref there. What did you make of the ref, Peter Banks?
It's all right, wasn't he?
I don't know. I thought he was a bit picky. He seemed to fall for everything that they did, and there was a lot of falling going on because they went to ground at every opportunity. We're too honest. We're too good and we're too honest.
I mean, in fairness, Walker Peters went down a few times and he didn't give anything, which was good.
It's quite difficult, this, because we did build up that kind of moral high ground. We climbed it all the way through the game with every Southampton dive, and then Luke Ayling in his own penalty area, at least
clear foul,
then just
vicious assault.
He climbed to the top of that moral high ground, then he dived off the top into a big pile of leaves. And so credits to Peter Banks for giving us that one. At least he evened it up a bit. If they were diving around and getting stuff, then at least Luke Ayling got that.
Luke Ayling is just one of those things that everyone's going along with, and I think he's, because he's quite a nice guy with an infectious personality. Was it Armstrong who was penalised for the foul on him? By the end, even he was laughing because he was like, "Ah, I can't be cross with you."
Just you like, know, rubbed his
what,
cheek.
What you're like? We all know. I know I didn't foul you. You know you dived. The ref knows, but
He does seem to suffer a bit from this is an old reference. The Mary Whitehouse experience used to have. The person of restricted seriousness, who whatever they say, people just find it funny. And when I was thinking that when he had the shot of him marching across to the assistant referee against, in the last game, I think it was, but it's happened a few times. And when he's bearing down on you with his eyes sort of flashing and he's angry about an offside call, it's always get your fucking flag up. He's quite aggressive. You know, you wouldn't like him marching at you that way. But still, there's football's great funny man, Luke Ayling. And
you prefer Wan-Bissaka, don't you?
What he was saying on the Pat Bamford show was about when he's the captain and he has to do the pre-match huddle, the talk then, because he has his speech impediment. Sometimes he finds it difficult to get the words out and all the other players just laugh at him and then just go away laughing. And that's how we start the game, is Luke Ayling unable to motivate the players properly and then just giggling. And you wonder why we start games slow.
Fair point. Let's talk about the second goal then, deep into injury time. Your man, Tyler Roberts, finally got his goal.
Took it well.
I think our man there was a big cheer when that went in, considering it was essentially a meaningless goal. I think it's because we'd seen him have the chance before and we were going, just please, please, Tyler, put this one in this time. And he didn't. But then he got his second chance, didn't he?
It was flagged up to us on Twitter that he ignored your coaching advice, actually, Michael, because he didn't hit it really hard into the net. He passed it.
Well, by that point, it was fine. He should have hit it really hard into the net the first time, is what I would have done.
It was made easier for him, the fact that the goal was open and the goalkeeper didn't dive. That kind of sorted out. See, I told you he could do it. I don't know. You would have to have a steel heart of stone if to look at the way he celebrated that goal and just the look of utter relief on his face and not be glad that he scored that. And, okay, the goal tonight, I mean, I don't know how he failed to put it away in the first place when he just dithered and they took the ball off him. And so he needed a bit of a gimme to actually put the ball into the back of the net. There was an element of sort of getting a kid and putting the ball just like 2 yards from the line and going, go on, kick it over, go on, score the goal.
Yay, happy birthday!
But remember the ones that were ruled out for VAR earlier in the season that were beautiful, and the assists that he's had cancelled for VAR for no reason, and all the ones that have been close but missed, and the ones that that he has set up that have been good. He needed just something in his stats to show for it at the end. And it's kind of, that's, you get stats two ways, that one, they don't really tell the story, but they also, I think a lot of players feel this way, that they just want those numbers on their record at the end of the season. So now it says Tyler Roberts, Premier League goals, one. And you can't say that he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve at least one goal for the way he's played over the last few weeks in particular.
He's done at least as well as Liverpool's goalkeeper, hasn't he, this season in front of goal.
And that means we can sell him for 12 million now instead of 10. Now he's scored a Premier League goal. So all good news.
Happy for him. And Marcelo Bielsa's celebration as well. Sometimes when they do the dugout cam, I count the fist pumps to see how happy he is, his double fist. And there were, I think, five, which is more.
Five double fists.
Which, bearing in mind, you know, he's thrown the idiot goalkeeper onto this one. Berardi's come on at halftime. Some of the good players are off. Half the team's on holiday. He's not celebrating a win over Southampton, is he? I think there will be happiness there that Tyler Roberts has finally done something right in Bielsa's eyes.
Well, you're saying we can now sell him for 12 million. He has now scored as many goals as both Brewster and McBurnie combined this season, which is good. That's £40 million of the strikers right there.
That does, I mean, for the serious point, that does kind of show that he's not worth nothing in this league, is he?
And I think we were all genuinely pleased for him. That is worth just saying for the record. I know we're taking the piss and having a laugh, but we all cheered that, like, finally, yes, get in. And let's note the outrageous pass from Rafinha in the build-up out on the right wing, that curve with the outside of his foot straight into his path.
Wasn't it Rodrigo? No, because he'd been substituted. Had he?
Yeah. Rodrigo was the pass for the first one for Bamford.
Okay.
Which was also very good.
I believe you. Thousands wouldn't.
And also, to go back to Sheffield United again, that's us past their total, isn't it, for last year? So that's a minor little achievement for us, I think.
Ah, but you need to be careful of the second year, Michael, don't you? You need to be careful of the second year. All the can kickers are now reminding us, yeah, but you've done fine in your first season, but this is when it'll finally bring itself to bear on Leeds United. Just shut up. Accept that we're brilliant and we're better than all the Premier League put together, and we'll crack on. Speaking of your coaching manual, actually, meant to say, we did get a tweet about that from Just Simply Lee on Twitter. Said, can Coach Michael tell us how Southampton have mastered the Burnley-style art of falling over by being touched every single time? Any words on that, on how they've achieved that?
Just recruiting cheats. That's your easiest way of doing it. You can teach it, but I think it's one of these things that you're born with it to a large degree. And you can, I like a good coach like myself wouldn't teach that. I go with the Bielsa school that you should need to avoid that kind of stuff. But a more cynical man may teach it.
So let's imagine that we're in contract talks, you and I. I'm the coach, you're the player. I'm saying to you, yeah, so what we need you to do is go down under every touch. Is that something you can do for us?
No.
Okay. Fine. Let's move on. Berardi came on. Mentioned that. Berardi came on. It was nice to see him. Nice to get a Premier League appearance under his belt.
We were disappointed with him, weren't we?
were we?
Well, we'd constructed a narrative around what we wanted to do. We wanted him to go out of his Leeds career the same way that he came in, which was with a red card.
I wanted him to scissor kick someone in the chest and then just go on the piss for the West Brom game. But, you know, you can't have everything. And hopefully he'll play in the West Brom game and he can maybe commit GBH in that one instead.
It does pave the way for us seeing Pablo, though, for the final game of the season. And that's one thing I am looking forward to, albeit we will be here in the studio and not in the ground.
He deserves it, doesn't he, Pablo? He needs a send-off, as does Berardi and Alioski and Kiko Garcia.
There is a bit of dewy-eyed mistiness going around on Twitter. Liam Cooper has put up a picture of Berardi being hugged at the end of the game by both Skip Dog and Bill. And Liam says, "Delighted for you, brother. This man is everything we are about and more. An example for everyone."
Beautiful. Old Ralphie Rabbit Hutch has been saying that we found another gear that they didn't have. He felt that they were closer to us in the game at Elland Road. Burnout, innit?
Well, have you seen his other comments?
Bonnie that, burnout.
Next season, Southampton will challenge Leeds more. That's how many years have Southampton been in the Premier League? And next season, they are hoping that they can challenge Leeds United a little bit more. Hopefully, get closer. Get a bit closer to Leeds.
Yeah, but we'll be bottom with a record low points total, won't we, if you listen to the hot takes on Twitter. So how they're going to aspire to achieve that, I've no idea.
Yeah, I mean, he's not promising much, is he? It's just maybe we'll lose both games 1-0 next year.
Well, it's they are closing the gap. It was 3-0 at Elland Road, 2-0 this year. So 1-0 defeat in the first game next season, and then probably going to have to be a 0-0 draw. But we can probably drop a couple of points against Southampton on our way to the title.
There was very much that testimonial end of season kind of vibe to tonight. Probably
don't just find new ways to undervalue Tyler Roberts' goal, please.
It's on a par with J. Roy Grott scoring against the Myanmar 11 or whatever.
Put that in a meme and tweet it.
Well, actually, I was going to say, because my notes, as the game went on and we became aware with the halftime subs that, kind of don't really matter any of this, does it? On 70 minutes, I did notice that Southampton substituted a Nathan for a Nathan. There's a double Nathaning. I wonder if the statisticians rather could give us some updates on that, whether that's happened before in football. Double Nathaning.
I'm struggling to think of any other Nathan footballers. It's probably a really obvious one.
Lofthouse.
Nathan Lofthouse.
Oh, I remember we discussed.
Oh, we were talking about the Bolton lad,
Nathan,
weren't we?
Lofthouse.
At Liverpool, what's his name?
Nathan.
Yeah.
Nathan Neal, yes.
I don't know if maybe if... a Nathaniel replacing a Nathan, does that help you any? Bringing the weight of some extra letters onto the pitch.
So what do we take from today then? What's your overall thoughts on it before we do heroes and villains?
3 fucking points.
Where are we in the league?
We are 8th as it stands at the minute.
That's all right, isn't it?
Charging to Europe. Conference League. Here we come.
We can start now the post-mortem for where we missed out on Europe because we're ever so close. We are ever so close.
This is where we turn a brilliant season into an unacceptable one, isn't it? That fucking Palace beat us. Brighton twice. You can easily talk yourself into winning the league, can't
all
you?
We
if
had
you go
to
down
do,
this route.
All we had to do was beat West Brom, and they can't even fucking do that.
We will.
Yeah, we will.
Heroes
Which
and villains.
It's going to be a big end to the season for how many games we've won. Who was the last team to beat us?
We haven't lost all season, have we?
Fucking Brighton, wasn't it?
It was Brighton.
Jesus, well, that doesn't count. Who was the last actual proper football team to beat us? There aren't any. Nobody has.
Awful, awful division. We're going to walk it next season. We know. Up first season, do fine. Second season, win it. Easy. Heroes and villains.
Berardi. Nice to see him again.
Tyler.
What for?
Tyler is... I haven't watched this because I'm talking to you two for some reason when I, you know... I'd rather be listening to what Tyler Roberts has got to say, but the caption says it's something I've been striving towards. I've been frustrated. So it's a big weight off my shoulders. And that's true. Maybe, West Brom is his former team. So it's all set up for a big 20-goal haul on Saturday. Put Patrick back in his place.
I believe earlier in the season you did predict Bamford would score 38 goals this year.
Well, he's let me down, hasn't he?
Fallen
short of my expectations. I didn't predict that he'd be smacking the manager in the face with the football, though. So who knows? I mean, football is an unpredictable game.
I've got a villain for you. Mickey Croissant, who went to what was it, Marseille on loan, he ended up at. Been sent back to Bayern, hasn't he? Excluded from the squad for the rest of the season. Sent back to Germany, tail between his broken legs.
I mean, we got Rafinha instead, didn't we? Essentially.
Effectively, yeah.
So I think that probably makes him a hero for having broken legs when he turned up.
Any other villains? Anyone done anything really bad? What about all the divers? Southampton is a set of divers.
I can't bring myself to be bothered. Walker Peters was a bit annoying, but it didn't really work. So
it's a useful talent on the coast anyway, so that, you know, something to occupy them during the summer.
What about all those people who were photographed inside a stadium for the first time in, 15 months, who were all there on their mobile phones?
Bit of a letdown. Yeah, there should have been. I didn't see anyone sticking two fingers up at a Leeds player. No wanker signs. Pathetic.
If you'd won the ballot, would they all have been written on A4? Just the word wanker. So you can hold that up, wave it at the pitch.
For Sam Allardyce, I think maybe it would be a fitting tribute.
Any other heroes that you want to nominate before we close out the show?
Don't think so.
What about Patrick Bamford for staying on his feet like a true, honest, fair play winning striker for the greatest football team in all the land?
I wanted a penalty. He did nutmeg Alex McCarthy, so that's quite nice. I feel like Alex McCarthy has a long history of being ill-used by Leeds United, particularly on loan. And it's good to sort of keep that up. Just hope for as long as he plays football, I hope he has a good career. He's absolutely perfectly respectable goalkeeper. Didn't shame himself at Leeds anymore. And so we always kind of upset him a couple of times a season. That's fine.
Maybe Theo Walcott, just for still being around. He played against a Kevin Blackwell Leeds team. It feels weird that he should still be able to be playing. Just go away.
He's all part of Hasenhüttl's master plan for getting a little bit closer to Leeds next season, is Walcott permanent instead of a loan. That's going to make all the difference, I think.
Well, a lovely evening in the sunshine by the coast in the spring. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice being a Leeds fan right now. I'm happy.
Can't fault it, I have to say.
And we'll wrap it up there then. Thank you for listening to the Match Ball. We've got one more this season on Sunday. We will hotfoot it from, the studio to the studio because we didn't get tickets. But we will enjoy it nonetheless. I think it's going to be a joy to see fans back inside the ground.
Yeah, I look forward to some more antisocial behaviour from the Leeds fans. I believe we can do it.
If you're going, don't forget, marker pen, A4, piece of paper, swear words. It's the only way forward.
We'll catch you next time. See you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.